Clayton Safey from the Wolverine.com. We're talking football. We'll get the Dusty May hitting the transfer portal for a roster, or at least to help his current roster. You got the Michigan spring scrimmage game, whatever you want to call it, this weekend. I think that's going to be on Fox. Boy, Clayton, busy time right now.
Yeah, it is. It should be a decent enough day weather-wise on Saturday for the spring game. And then, like you said, I mean, how many guys from Michigan are going to go in the draft? I saw Dane Brugler from The Athletic released a mock draft today with 14 Michigan players being picked. The all-time record is 15 by Georgia 2 years ago in 2022. So certainly a chance to break it. Where will J.J. McCarthy end up, you know, and what kind of situation will he be in? That's an, you know, a question I think it's pretty much the consensus will get answered on that first night on Thursday, but then a whole boatload of guys should go on day two and day three, and a lot of Wolverines will be scattered even more across the NFL than they already are.
Where do you think J.J. will go in the draft?
It just feels like, I know he met with the Patriots a couple times this week. He had a dinner with them and then met with them at their facility in Foxborough. But I don't know. It just feels like Minnesota has kind of been the landing spot that a lot of people have pointed to for a while. Now, if New England, you know, has him, you know, ahead of Drake May, the North Carolina quarterback, then maybe they go in that direction. I know there's been some buzz and people, you know, have reported that, hey, the Washington Commanders at number two actually might like J.J. McCarthy even better than Jaden Daniels, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. So it just, but, you know, a lot of that seems to come out before the draft every year when you talk about the pecking order here. So I'll play it a little bit safer and say Minnesota trades up into the top five, top 10, and decides to take J.J. McCarthy.
I also report today the Broncos are targeting a day one QB. They could trade veteran players to get up there. So you never know. It's a draft. A lot of stuff can happen. You can follow the Wolverines connected to the NFL draft at thewolverine.com. All right, that's spring scrimmage, whatever you want to call it, game. You know, I love what Alabama did. They basically played a game. They protected quarterbacks and skill position and guys who were banged up, but they had a huge crowd. You know, Ohio State kind of did the same thing. I wish Michigan would make this more of an event. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan, and we'll see what the format is under Sharon Moore. Last few years under Jim Harbaugh, it has been a game. He even has had reviews in it, and that was maybe a Harbaugh type of thing. But it's just different. One, the weather in the South. I think it was over 90,000 at Alabama. You know, I know Ohio State had a lot too. So I guess, you know, the weather isn't everything. There's probably, you know, less to do and more passion, let's be honest, in the SEC in terms of the crowd. But I'd expect 40-ish thousand people maybe at the Big House on Saturday to watch Michigan spring game. They did split the team in half, maize and blue. And, you know, like you said, they're going to protect some guys, right? You might not see a lot of Mason Graham or Kenneth Grant or Will Johnson, and, you know, probably don't need to at this point keep them healthy. But at the same time, maybe we'll see a little bit of them. And then you're always kind of looking for the next wave of guys who are going to step up, maybe be the depth pieces, maybe be the guys that are competing for position battles, things like that. So you probably can't glean as much as we'd all like to from a spring game, but I think there's still a lot you can kind of learn about a team. And it'll be interesting to see them for the first time under Sharon Moore, see him there leading the team, you know, and everything. It should be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm really interested in the QB play, and I'll be watching it on Fox this weekend. Clayton Safey from the Wolverine.com joining us. I mentioned Graham and the D-line and guys that will be probably limited in playing, but Lou Esposito, talk about a fast rise story there. I remember when he was at Davenport College, and then he's gone like to Western, to Memphis, and Michigan had the D-line opening, and he jumped in there. That's a great hire, just a good dude. He already is. I saw the comments. He's going to be really good with the media, really good.
Yeah, that's what I heard. A guy over on the West Side, Steve Project, who hosts the show, reached out as soon as Lou Esposito got hired and said, oh, you guys are going to love covering him. And then we got to talk to him for the first time yesterday, and he was fantastic. So he's got a lot of talent to work with. You know, took over less than a month ago and already has, you know, some projected first-round picks from a year from now that are in his room that he's able to work with. But Michigan also looking to add some depth through the transfer portal as well. They threw out an offer today to a Kent State defensive tackle. So something to keep an eye on, not just D-line, but a bunch of different positions where, you know, pretty much every team, right, they're going to try to add guys through the transfer portal. You're going to lose a few, and that's the way it goes. But Michigan's done a great job in the portal the last few years, kind of spot recruiting different positions that they want to get a little bit better and improve. And I think we're going to see that again this spring and summer.
Clayton Safey from TheWolverine.com, just listing off every other radio show in West Michigan except the Huge Show, but I'm good with that, Clayton.
They're not the same time slot. And
Project's a good guy. He's a good guy. He does his thing. He's got his, you know, Saturday morning show. He's been around for a while. He works hard. I respect people in broadcasting who dream of being me. I do. I really respect that. I do. It's like, you know, you get a cup of coffee in the big leagues and, you know, I'm Huge Ruth and I'm good with that. He's a good dude.
Not everybody can be Huge.
Brett, write that down. Get my T-shirt guy going on that, okay? Thank you, Clayton. What a great idea. All right, before I let you go, Dusty May, the transfer portal. Again, there's a lot on Twitter, a lot of people saying sources this, sources that. What is the latest on any dudes who are coming to play for Dusty May via the transfer portal or based on whenever the timing's done and the paperwork can get in? Anybody who's committed, what's the latest on the roster May is putting together for Michigan basketball?
Yeah, I think one of the worst kept secrets probably in college basketball, at least transfer portal-wise, recruiting-wise, is that Vlad Goldin, the center who we've talked about a few times on this show, is likely going to join Dusty May at Michigan, played for him for a few years at Florida Atlantic, started his career at Texas Tech, but has been really good, really efficient down low. Not a stretch big man, but somebody who can really score at the rim and rebound. He's likely to come. Scottie Pippen's son, Justin Pippen, who's a 2024 recruit, come in as a freshman, is going to announce his decision on Friday. Michigan, the favorite to land him as well, a kid who's really improved, was one of the most improved high school players in the country last year. I think he went from 4 or 5 points a game to about 16 or 17 on Sierra Canyon, one of the big schools out there in Los Angeles. So add a little star power, maybe if Scottie's coming to Chrysler Center next year. But they'll have some more visitors this weekend. Auburn point guard Trey Donaldson will be in. Former Ohio State wing Roddy Gale Jr. Will visit as well. And Michigan has a good shot with him as well, along with Creighton being in the mix. So wheels are moving. They haven't got that first commitment yet. But I think, again, Vlad Goldin is kind of a formality at this point, in my opinion.
Doing good stuff, May is. Like I said, reminds me a lot of when Beilein took over, that he's just rolling up his sleeves, literally, and getting to work. And, you know, I think that will lead to a better-than-expected team come next season. So, strong hire there with May. The fallout from the NCAA story, has anybody found out who the one coach is at Harbaugh? The one coach that didn't accept the resolution and it's still open with that coach. Anybody in terms of their, I don't want to say recruiting violations, four were level two. The one was Michigan agreeing with the NCAA that Harbaugh didn't cooperate, which I thought was weak. But it was he the guy that didn't opt in on the resolution? I assume it was him, right?
Yes, and I think that, yeah, so now that'll be a separate case and won't really matter in the short term unless Jim Harbaugh does at some point coach college again. And at that time, the NCAA would still have to exist for it to be relevant, of course. So, you know, we'll see. 8, 9 years from now, if he decides to come back and coach some team, he has said he's going to coach until he dies. So, you know, I could see maybe that happening if he decides to leave or you know, has to leave Los Angeles at some point. But, yeah, it's kind of where that's at. The rest of it from a Michigan standpoint, once they kind of serve their punishment, which isn't all that severe, at least from this case, then it'll be in the rear view. But, yeah, it's kind of one of those things that I think is, you know, expected to wrap up with, you know, pretty minor punishment, and that's what it looks like is going to happen.
I wonder, though, Harbaugh is really OCD at times. If he won't have his lawyer demand a hearing in front of the NCAA So he can say, I disagree with what Michigan said, that I didn't cooperate, and that he puts that on the record. I really think he's the type of guy that doesn't want it out there, that it looks like he lied to investigators. I'm telling you.
No, I agree with you. And he's a man of principle. I would not be surprised at all. And Tom Mars, who is has been described as a thorn in the side of the NCAA, that's his attorney that is working on this. So I'm sure he'd be happy to take Jim Harbaugh's money to continue to fight this with the NCAA. And the interesting thing, too, Bill, that you bring up is he can fight back to the NCAA and go to a hearing here, and there's really no repercussion. Like, they can't punish him because he's not in college football anymore, of course, unless he comes back at some point. So that's kind of the interesting thing here. I think to clear his name, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he does that, or, you know, goes through the process with his attorney.
That's what I – just for him to demand the hearing – or for him to go in a press conference after the draft, right now they're focused on the draft, sometime in early May, and he will give the interviews to all the networks and say, because it's sitting there that Michigan agreed with the NCAA that he didn't cooperate fully or misled investigators. So I'm telling you, he's going to fight it. That will be interesting to watch, because he'll love to take on the NCAA because they can't do anything to him, and he's the coach of the LA Chargers, and I doubt he's ever coming back to college ball. Clayton, always good stuff. This was a pet project of mine to have you on air, and I'm glad I did.
Appreciate it.
We love you, Clayton Safey.